The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Newsflash. Living a Christ-centered life will put you at odds with the world around you. Following Christ is countercultural. And that's one of the problems. The church has followed the culture rather than challenging the culture. Hey, welcome to Bob Burney Live. This is the 5 o'clock hour. And my telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE. 877-262-5483. Came across a story. I actually saw it Friday or Saturday and didn't read it until today. And it is such an incredible illustration of the Christ life. And how out of step the Christ life is with the world around us. It's a story of a man named Darren Ray. Never heard of him before this story. And rather than trying to just summarize it and put it in my own words, let me read portions of this story to you because I want to make sure I get it correct. It's an unbelievable story of Christ-like forgiveness. Here it is. To the outsider, Darren Ray has every right to have a life of bitterness and resentment. Born with a bilateral cleft palate, Ray's early years were defined by a series of surgeries and relentless bullying from his peers. Despite being raised in a Bible-believing home, the constant pain he endured as a child left him questioning God's goodness. When I would undergo a surgery, doctors would put splints on my arms to keep me from touching my face, so I never developed good hand-eye coordination, he recalled in a recent interview. I couldn't play sports, and I looked so different from my peers that I was the constant target of jabs and bullying. I felt like God had abandoned me and made me ugly because he didn't love me. After enduring a difficult childhood, Ray finally reached a point where life seemed to be coming together. He was happily married, living in California with his wife and 3-year-old daughter and earning a stable income. Feeling God calling him to the ministry, he started seminary, where he studied Christian counseling. Life was good, he said. I was a deacon and leader at our local church, and I was learning so much through the scriptures about counseling. All of that changed on August 20th of 2006. I had gotten up that morning to go to church. My daughter was in the back seat. I got about a mile from my home in a 20-mile-an-hour school zone when a man who was intoxicated and high on prescription pills came the other way, going 60 miles an hour. He crossed the double yellow line and hit me head-on. The combined crash was like driving my car into a brick wall 90 miles an hour. The front of the car came down on Ray, crushing both of his legs. The car battery exploded, covering his arms in battery acid. His left femur was broken in several places, while his right ankle was shattered. I was bleeding to death, he said. Paramedics used the jaws of life to peel the car from around me. It was a terrifying experience. Thankfully, my daughter had nothing but a scratch. Ray spent a month in the hospital where he endured a series of surgeries. Doctors informed him his right foot and ankle had been shattered and would require years of surgeries, including total reconstruction. He told me, I entered the hospital in the body of a 30-year-old man and left in the body of a 70-year-old man. They told me that even after years of surgery, it wasn't a guarantee that my foot and ankle would ever be healed. My other option was amputation. I didn't know what I should do. And then Jerry Roberts, the chaplain at the hospital, who had been a huge support to me, said, Darren, I know God's placed a calling on your life. Do you think that calling is to be a professional patient for the rest of your life? It really hit me. He said, I can't make the decision for you, but I think you know the decision you need to make. Make the decision that's going to allow you to do what God wants you to do. So in the end, I chose amputation. After undergoing amputation, Ray entered seminary. Yet he was still full of anger toward the man who had devastated his life. It was the man's fourth DUI, and the state had revoked his license. I had a picture in my head of who this guy was, a big, mean, evil-looking man. It was easy for me to be unforgiving to him. But according to Ray, there were a number of things that God used to help him forgive the man. One was first to change my perspective of him. When the man walked into the courtroom, he was just 49 years old, yet he looked like he was 70 or more due to the years of harsh living. God used that to soften my heart and dispel what I originally thought he would look like. When reading Scripture, Ray came across the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus prayed, Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Well, I didn't feel like forgiving the man, but I knew it was what God wanted me to do. I trusted him to help me forgive. I prayed, Lord, I don't want to forgive, but help me to do what you want. At the court hearing a short time later, Ray went before the judge and asked him to forgive the amount of debt that the man owed his family directly. The judge looked at me and said, Why do you want to forgive this man that debt? Well, I looked at that judge and I told him, Because I have a Savior that forgave me. He paid my debts that I could never repay. Now get this, folks. Listen to this. Quote, When I forgave that man, I was instantly freed from bitterness and anger. When you truly think about how much Christ has forgiven you, it helps you to forgive others who have wronged you. Now I am able to walk in freedom and wholeness. Based on his experiences, Ray said there are three things he knows to be true about God. One, how much he loves us. Two, how much he has forgiven us. Three, he has wonderful, incredible plans for us, and his plans never fail. We have to trust him. We have to look to him, even when we don't see him there. When you surrender yourself to him with everything you are, you will see his hand at work. Today, Ray serves as a pastor, ministering to seniors and those with disabilities. He said in an interview that he continually reminds those struggling physically that even when their circumstances don't make sense, God has a plan for them. When I got to the point where I said, Lord, here I am, do with me as you will, that's when I saw him do miraculous things in my life, Ray said. That's when he helped me forgive. I saw him open doors I never thought he would open. God took the broken pieces of my life and he put them back into something completely different to make me whole again. That is Christ-like forgiveness. It's not human. It is absolutely not human to forgive that way. But it is Christ-like. Sometimes we don't feel like forgiving. We don't want to. Everything within us. But when we refuse to forgive, we become the servant of the person to whom we hold the bitterness. What a great story. Darren Ray. And he will impact who knows how many people by sharing his message of Christ-like forgiveness. Maybe you needed to hear that today. Maybe there's someone you need to forgive. We'll be back.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live. Telephone number 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Let's go to the phones, and we've got David over in Dayton, Ohio. David, welcome. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Bob. I've spoken with you in the past. It's been a while since I've listened to the show, and just everything you've played today just spoke right to my heart. And you're talking about the culture and then the education, but one of the things Paul in his epistles wrote to all the Ephesians, Philippians, all the others. They lived in a culture that was godless, pagan, mm-hmm. and you were definitely counterculture. And then I find myself so angry at this enemy just coming in like a flood. Every time you turn around, there's some other thing hitting you in the face, like what Mrs. Harvey was talking about today. And so I have to have forgiveness toward these people and bring the gospel. But how do we share the gospel in a way with people that really have no basis for any kind of biblical basis at all? When you talk about forgiveness of sins, that whole concept is like, what do you mean? I don't have to be forgiven. What are you talking about? And any advice you could give there as far as engaging people with the word, not just arguing with them?
Have you heard the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Okay. It's not true. If you give a horse enough salt, he will drink.
Okay.
All right. Then. We are called salt and light. I think, David, we are entering a time of the greatest opportunity of evangelism in American history, because for almost all of our history, Christians have not had to be countercultural. We have been a country founded on biblical principles, godly principles. All of our founding fathers were not born-again evangelical Christians, but they all acknowledged a sovereign God who was sovereign over the affairs of men, and he was the creator and we are the creation. Our government was established on those principles. So for over 200 years, David, it's been really easy to be a Christian in America. Really easy, because Christian principles, biblical principles, have coincided with American principles. That's changing, and it's changing dramatically. Changing not only dramatically, it's changing very rapidly. Where if you live a Christ life, you are now counter-cultural. Well, we are living in times of despair, fear, hysteria, anger, bitterness. We are to be the opposite of all of those things. We are to be the salt that makes people thirsty for the gospel. Our life is to be so different from the world around us that is consumed with fear and anxiety that people say, how come you're different? How come you're not frightened like everybody else is? How come you're not constantly angry and bitter. And unfortunately, David, a lot of Christians are. They're always bitter and angry and critical. They're not living a Christ-like example in our community and in our culture. So ultimately, just living the gospel. Now, that doesn't mean we should not be diligent in sharing the gospel and in every way that we possibly can find. But the ultimate is living the gospel to the people around us, family members, people that, you know, in the restaurants where we go, our neighbors. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So I appreciate you, your thoughts on that, Bob. And it is definitely, that's a good point you make, though, about it really was easier to be a Christian than it's harder than ever to be a Christian.
Oh, absolutely.
Counterculture now.
Through almost all of our history, if you were a Bible-believing Christian, you were honored in our culture. You were honored in our society. That's not the case anymore, David. It is not the case anymore. You are ridiculed, scorned, made fun of, called all kinds of nasty names if you really try to live a Christ life. But, again, we are the ones that have the answer. We are the living antidotes to the problems in our culture and our society.
Well, Bob, thanks for taking my call today. I appreciate it.
Well, my pleasure. My pleasure, David. Thanks so much for calling. God bless you. Thank you. And that's why, folks, listen. We're to be different. We're surrounded by angry, bitter people. That's why I get bent out of shape about Christians getting angry about masks. I hate wearing masks. But should we really be characterized by angry and bitterness about a mask? Or should we be concerned about our testimony to the people around us? We got people fighting about masks. I had the privilege of preaching down near Cincinnati yesterday in two services, and I told both of them, don't you dare be divisive about this mask issue. Churches are splitting over masks. Are you serious? All right, if you think you should wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't think you should, well, that's your business, all right? It's not a biblical issue. I don't think it's a constitutional issue. We're to be different. There is to be a peace, a calm, a contentment, a confidence, a hope that characterizes our life. And that certainly does not characterize the culture around us right now. We're different. We're different. We are followers of Jesus. All right. Think about it. And we'll return.